Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Implications of Phineas and Ferb podcast.
What you doing?
Making a podcast.
Alrighty.
So, just to clarify this, basically you're doing what you do with a regular episode by, like, going through and talking about it, except the episode in this case is MWCA.
A 3-hour
yeah.
Musical cool. Fan-created show. Yeah,
We have less implications and more...
So usually it takes like a page per episode, like I take in my notes. For this, I've taken, 5 pages. I'm sorry. Most of it is just appreciation of amazing it is.
That joke was hilarious, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and
do we still have a 1-hour limit or can we go slightly over? Or
I think Craig is like 6, so
yeah. And if
you've got nothing on today, we can spend 6 hours here. Like I'm pretty free. I've freed up my whole day.
Yeah,
I'm
not doing anything.
I'm only moving back to Wollongong. That's fine. I can do that later.
Okay, so like 23-hour podcast is what I'm hearing.
Biggest episode ever.
No, that's a challenge.
Intro first. Welcome back to, as always, the Implications of Phineas and Ferb, where we discuss the MWCA today, apparently.
More Phineas and Ferb, though. I'm glad we're keeping somewhat on track.
We have got Andrew, Taylor, Tammy, and I didn't catch your name.
Isaac.
I like how you point at the screen and there's no one else knows what you're pointing at except for me.
So let's go around for the people that might not have caught the last episode and just get you guys to say who you are in the play, what you're doing, all of that sort of stuff, starting Andrew, maybe?
Hi, my name is Andrew Grabowski. I wrote, directed, and produced MWCA, and I also played Major Francis Monogram.
What a monumental task.
Yeah, that was 3 massive roles there.
Thank you.
And then Taylor?
I'm Taylor Renee Castle, and I played Candace and was a co-producer.
Hell yeah.
And...
Hi, I'm Isaac. I played Norm, and
Norm was good. Norm was good.
Hell yeah. And last but most certainly not least, Tammy Rosales.
Hi, my name is Tammy Rosales, and I played Isabella Garcia Shapiro in the musical, and I also helped with some audio mixing.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And video editing and a lot of other things she's being humble about.
Yeah, I was watching those credits and I was like, god damn, just the sheer amount of work that went into this musical is insane.
Was like the first thing I wrote about it was the editing, holy fuck. Like that, it's a monumental task you had in front of you. That was 3 hours long and there was all sorts of different things you had to do, like with the songs, so you put them together and even just like the normal...
Oh man, to think that this was going to be live. I'm glad we made that decision.
Remember when?
It's going to be live on Zoom in April, and that did not happen, but I think it was for the best.
Wowza.
I think that's a good move. I think that was a good move on your half.
When we attended the premiere, that felt like a live show. Like, everyone was in the chat all getting excited and stuff. I was making jokes about Candace's AirPod-shaped head. It was fantastic. It was a good time.
Oh, yeah. That was a really fun premiere, too, because, like, Swampy was in the chat, and some other people were in the chat that were very
exciting. It was awesome, yeah. Yeah, and Swampy posting about it on his Instagram. I'm pretty sure that makes you guys the official, like, Phineas and Ferb parody musical.
Unofficial.
Official, unofficial, yep.
Yeah, the official, unofficial podcast meets the official, unofficial musical for Phineas and Ferb. I love it.
And that actually reminds me, jumping right into my absolute favorite joke was actually right at the end. Well, there was like a bunch of jokes. I was like, this is my favorite. Yeah. But right at the end, Alex, the song that Alex did at the end, the line, this song's technically original, which means we're eligible for a Tony, just absolutely got me in like the last 2 minutes of the show.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for our Tony. Like, I don't understand why we haven't gotten anything in the mail yet.
At the very least, I'm expecting a performance.
That's actually one of two songs that we were allowed to release on Spotify, because it's completely original. That one was done by Alex. The other one, which is coming to Spotify, is from our Christmas album, and that one is called But It's Christmas, Becky, which will hopefully be there soon. We sort of inched out of only parodies and had some original compositions, too.
Yeah, speaking of, tell us about the Christmas album, because that's the new stuff.
Sure. So, I mean, after we did the musical, we sort of chilled for a little bit. And then we had some Christmas songs that we were looking to, like, sort of touch up the mixing and re-release them that we did last year. And then Tammy came to me and was like, Andrew, I'm going to sing Let It Snow as Isabella. And she started working on this in, like, August.
I am doing this.
Yeah. And then Taylor had also last year recorded part of a Mariah Carey parody of All I Want for Christmas Is You. And I was like, hey, wouldn't it be fun if you, like, made that a full song instead of just, like, the 1 minute you did for TikTok? And then that just evolved into doing 14 tracks. And Tammy and I got no sleep for the entire month of December. But we put out a Christmas album to accompany...
Totally worth it, honestly.
Yeah, I'm happy with how it turned out.
You just it's pump all a Christmas bangers. Album. Yeah.
And speaking of that, All I Want for You, All I Want for Christmas Is You covered. Taylor, you hit that note. I was like, is she gonna hit it? Is she gonna... You destroyed it. Very
can
well
I
enough.
Can I just tell you something about that? Because that actually was the easiest part, that note. This person right here was sitting back there as I was singing the whole song, and he couldn't hear the track, but he's an amazing singer. He did not get to sing in MWCA nearly enough, which is a travesty. Andrew, we got to make number two. We have to make number two so he can sing. But I was singing and I would sing the wrong notes and he knew. He was like, that was wrong. He's like, I just want to let you know, like, your note's a little, like, under pitch. I was like, it's like, okay, you sing it.
Your vocal coach. Bro.
Yeah, a little vocal coach. That's very handy to have in the line of work.
On the flip side of that, though, I could see when Taylor was, like, done recording, I could see the takes that she uploaded. And it also, like, gives you a visual indicator of which ones were, like, split and which ones were done in one take. And for All I Want for Christmas Is You, at the very end, when Taylor does that high note and then does the Candace, like, dialogue after, that was the same take. I don't know how that was physically possible, but... kudos.
Just drop straight into the voice.
Yeah.
A really deep breath.
Yeah. And that was, like... You know, that was, like, after, the musical debuted in August, but we stopped filming for it in April, so that was, like, an 8-month gap of, like, not doing Candace and, like, just got right back into it.
Yeah.
Stop it, guys.
So you concluded filming in April, and it didn't come out till August.
The editing alone. The amount of work that was put behind that. Like, the performance and everything was fantastic, but just sitting at a computer listening to the same clip for, like... an hour just trying to find it, like,
where we would have gone mad.
I never want to hear Room Where It Happens from Hamilton ever again, even though I love that song because I think I've heard it 4 million times.
Yeah, I was just gonna bring that up. So a lot of the songs, like, obviously are parodies, and Hamilton appeared quite a few times.
Three songs.
Yeah, a bit popular there. Yeah.
It's a good show, so understandable.
Yeah, that also comes from I started writing this in, like, 2016, so it was like Hamilton is on the mind. There's other vague references to it even outside of the songs too. Like, Vanessa has the line referencing Washington on Your Side, I think.
Yeah, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh my god, I can't believe you know it. That's so good.
Yeah, I went through a massive Hamilton phase in, like, 2017.
I was there, but I was not there for Hamilton. I was just there as he's like, Hamilton! Yeah. I want to see Hamilton! Hamilton! Hamilton!
Oh, it's really patriotic of you guys.
Yeah, patriotic for a nation that I'm not even part of.
I did love the Doof line during the Hamilton-ish parody where he says, I ended up in America, and that was like, shit.
Yeah, it was like, I aimed for a land of hopes and dreams, but I ended up in America, unfortunately. That was pretty fantastic.
That's funny. That's good stuff.
I appreciate that, but also that joke is also lifted from a Phineas and Ferb episode. I think it's This Is Your Backstory, which is not until season 4, so you guys might not have gotten there yet. But
not yet.
But they criticize America on that show too.
Yeah, well, they definitely should.
They should.
Finished up season 2, actually. We're starting season 3 will be the next episode, so that'll be good. Yeah.
You get to see Jeremy singing to Candace about why he likes her in the first...
Talking about that, Jeremy, once again, in this show, I'm glad you carried it along, is perfect, and he's the fantastic man. It's a running joke that we want Henry Cavill to play Jeremy. A little upset I didn't get to see Henry Cavill in the MWCA, but, you know, that's fine. The second one, we can bring him in. I did, like, it was fantastic. Jeremy, oh, man of the hour.
We were trying to work out who had like the most fun with just like going nuts with their performance,
with their roles,
and we landed on Rosemary because she was just going hard.
You just get to not say much. You get to make weird noises and do kicks and jumps and dances. She had the most fun. Like the closest was Doof as well, because he got half of his dialogue is just screaming and like shaking his head, which was very funny. But Perry definitely has the most fun in the MWCA.
Definitely a girl boss moment.
You should see Rosemary's very first audition that she submitted. Because I gave them super vague directions. I was like, just like play the Perry the Platypus theme for 30 seconds and run around being Perry the Platypus and let me see what that looks like. And she like was like kicking up in the air and doing like body rolls and like pretending to get herself trapped inside of a chair and breaking out. And I was like, this is Perry the Platypus.
Her promos, like I just didn't realize how great of a singer she was too. Like she's an excellent singer as well.
She really is.
So that was our one mistake, was that she's perfect for Perry, but she was also a good singer, and we were like, well, Perry doesn't speak in this show at all. So we let her sing the Perry the Platypus theme, and then she did a couple of other songs. Everything's Better with Perry and Unsung Hero, which are like Perry themed songs that she sang those to.
I love Unsung Hero. We talked to Swampy about that one. That's a great song.
Yeah, and you had that during, I think, the intermission, which
Speaking of, the most amazing part of it all was the fact that we have grown up with these characters. We have been listening to the voices that have been the voice actors that have been playing these characters for like 10, 15 years of their lives. And we were watching the show, and we weren't sitting there going, oh, yeah, no, he's good, but it's not as good as, you know, so I'm real, all that. Like, it was...
They were hauntingly close.
Yeah, hauntingly close, and the biggest of shoes to fill.
Yeah, so Phineas and Doof had, like, one of the hardest jobs out there. And, like, usually you'd expect to, like, cringe a little bit, but no, they were fantastic. Just they were on point.
I appreciate that.
And then my two standouts were Isabella. You were... Mwah, fantastic.
Thank you.
It was like you could just listen to that normally. And I was like, that's Isabella. If I had to... So we've got like our live action dream cast. And as of now, you are the dream cast for Isabella.
Oh my God, that means so much.
A fantastic job.
You'll be acting alongside Henry Cavill as Jeremy and Tom Cruise as Perry the Platypus.
I love that.
Only three cast in there.
Yeah, so
I like how you're like, Rosemary was our favorite actor, but we will be replacing her with Tom Cruise.
She was, but I just have to see Tom Cruise painted teal trying to kill himself on set. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, he's apparently in the new one. They found set photos, the paparazzi got set photos of him hanging off the side of a World War II biplane.
This is Tom Cruise
for the next Mission
like
Impossible.
60-year-old man. I've known it, and he's just hanging on the side of a biplane for his movie. And you're like, what?
Yep. So that's our Perry the Platypus. Just put him in a green screen studio, paint him teal. Everyone else is a cartoon, and Tom Cruise is just doing his thing.
Yeah, it's perfect. Can't wait for that. Also, all standouts as well for casting. Buford. He got some great lines
the
as well.
Physicality.
Yeah.
Physicality was fantastic. So the dialogue you wrote for him, I'm like, you just gave him all the good ones. All the good lines out of him, and it was so good.
Buford is literally like two spheres on top of each other in a children's cartoon, and somehow he got that physicality right, which is just like, how do you even manage that, you know?
Yeah.
I gotta say, Ben is probably like the funniest cast member that we have, and I don't even think most people know this about him. I learned this when a couple of us in the cast actually met up in person to go to Disney World in September.
Saw that in the credits. Very cool.
Yeah, and he would like walk around the park just like making these like one-liners, and we're like, Ben, why are you so funny? And he's not on any social media either, so like he's actually just funny for the sake of like, you know, without expecting the attention for it.
You mean he's got a funny and likable personality, and he's not monopolizing it for content?
I know. I didn't think people like that existed.
Yeah, I mean we've been monopolizing our friendship for content for the last like 2 years. So
you guys are getting money for this? We're doing something wrong.
No, absolutely not.
No, nowhere near.
We've been begging for money from like Arnott's Biscuits, and
Arnott's Biscuits will sponsor us, and I will get a tattoo of the parrot on my shoulder.
That's the dream.
That's the other dream. Next to Henry Cavill dressed as Jeremy. like a fake blonde wig. It's gonna be so good.
At this point, I've given up the idea of going through it in order, so I'm just jumping with random things.
But you're really like killing me here. I'm all
All ordered and stuff. It was small, but we noticed it. There's a Simpsons house cameo when the lasers are going down. We saw it.
In the background, when the pools get made, well, the holes in the ground, there's like a shot and it looks exactly like the Simpsons house in the background.
Okay.
Is that on purpose?
So there is an intentional Simpsons reference in the show, but it's not that. So I think what you're describing is I just went into like a random episode of Phineas and Ferb and pulled some houses like from one of those backgrounds and just like edited some stuff out. But I didn't draw any of those houses. So if they look like the Simpsons house, that was something that they just did on Phineas and Ferb.
That's even bigger. That's
you were
even
so sleep deprived. You didn't even notice. Did you make another
one? I didn't notice. I was like actually watching the Simpsons instead of Phineas and Ferb. Unfortunately, that's fine. True. No,
so
the
Simpsons and Phineas and Ferb live in the same universe. Are they like...
There's a conspiracy.
A Fox Disney universe.
Yeah, like a huge Disney universe.
The intentional Simpsons reference is when Perry's going down to his lair and it like is panning through the ground. There's like rats in the floorboard in between Phineas's house and the Alka lair, and that's like a homage to the Simpsons. But I'm glad you noticed one that I didn't even know was in the show.
Right.
You're putting Easter eggs in without even noticing. That's a next level
that's a
sleep
skill.
Deprivation.
Oh, yeah.
I did really like it. And apparently that's the original cast as well. So the people who get holes in their ground.
No, we mentioned when we were on last time, you mentioned that the original Norm was in the people that are in the who are buying chlorine for the pools.
Yeah, he's the he's the news broadcaster.
Mm-hmm. Oh
yeah.
I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about the actor who plays Norman Phineas and Ferb, and I was very confused.
No.
Wow, you got another cameo and you didn't even notice?
Another sleep deprived Easter egg for us all out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew sleep. Jesus.
Yeah,
that was Michael who played Norm in the college version of the show. I would say there was probably
The original cast.
4 or 5 actors who were in the college one and also this one. A handful of them have like very small parts, like the person playing the tree in Summer Belongs to You also played the tree in the college version.
That tree was like, it's not in anything else. Like it doesn't appear until the end, and it's literally just a cardboard cutout with someone holding it behind them.
It's because it was this big inside joke specifically at my university. And I was like, should I bring it back for the virtual version? No one will get it. Well, I guess I can do it for like one shot. And then people loved it anyway without the context for it. So it worked out.
I would argue it's funnier without context because it's just a cartoon tree the entire show, and then right at the end it's played by someone. That's objectively hilarious.
Talk about just funny things in this show of them just holding stuff. Pinky the dog. I don't know why I found it so funny, but it was just like a cut of someone holding a dog and a camera, and I'm like, that is hilarious. And they like move the dog around. I'm like, yes, I'm laughing.
Whose dog was it?
Alan.
That was Ali Kassman's dog, who was our vocal director and also played one of the Fireside Girls. Originally, we had cast somebody who had an actual Chihuahua, and that person left the show, so then it got replaced with a Yorkie Poo. But people seemed to really love the Yorkie Poo, too, so I think it worked out.
Yeah, I think any dog would have done. If you like did a Great Dane, it would have been funny, but I'm happy with having
And just still call it a Chihuahua, but it's just very obviously not a Chihuahua.
And she like tries to pick it up and stuff. That would be funny.
The only part that it felt slightly jarring is we still use Pinky's musical sting, which is like mariachi music, and I'm like, I don't know if this works, but I'm just gonna leave it until somebody tells me not to.
A joke that I didn't really think was so I didn't get it until later because I read comments about it was when Jeremy says I left the Chihuahua home with Susie, and people were like, oh my gosh, like Susie's getting mauled by a Chihuahua. That was so funny.
So we that was like an unintentional oversight. Was Jeremy's like, yeah, I left my dog home with Susie during the same part of the musical where animals in Danville are supposed to have gone insane. And people were like, yo, wait, did Susie just die or whatever? And that was not planned. But we addressed
Susie
that.
Would win.
We addressed that later in the Halloween song that we did, because we did a cover of One Good Scare from the Haunted House episode of Phineas and Ferb, and we just gave Buford this line of dialogue that's like, oh, and don't get me started on Susie's poodle, that thing is just vicious, like, not even an evil machine can make that dog any more evil than it already is. So we, like, retroactively fixed the logical error of the show Halloween video.
Well done.
I still like the idea of, like, it becoming deranged, and Susie just, like, getting it to sit the hell down. She just, like, looks at it and says, sit, and it just behaves because it has to, because Susie's a demon child.
Yeah, that's no true. Susie in the show, by the way.
Yeah, you didn't do Susie.
Yeah, Susie's the only character that we had in the college version who wasn't in this one. She didn't really have a role. She was just, like, in our ensemble. But she does appear briefly in Room Where It Happens, in that scene where Taylor is, like, screaming and there's, like, random pictures scrolling behind her when she's wondering what the cause of her misfortune is.
Because they're taken from the show, aren't they? Full cast.
Yeah. I put a lot of effort into hiding if a character, like, wasn't in the script. I was like, I'm just going to put a picture of them somewhere so that if anybody says they're missing, I can say no, they're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Clint Balloon is in that scene, Meep, Marty the Rabbit Boy.
And that's why the show came out in August.
Yeah, Tammy would, like, watch me editing, and she's like, Andrew, I know the show's taking a while because it needs to take a while, but also you don't need to do all these things. And I'm like, yes, I do, shut up.
You have, like, a nap. Sleep is important.
There's so many things I liked. I don't know why I started the sentence with that, but the difference between Act 1 and Act 2 is great. So Act 1's just like a normal Phineas and Ferb and entry, pretty much. It's your classic, they make something cool, Doof gets rid of it accidentally, it's standard stuff. And then Act 2, you're like, nah, now we're going to do the fun stuff. We're going to have Candace meet Doof. She's going to build the machine. We're going to have Phineas and Ferb come and help her, because that's what a normal person would do. If you had brothers that were basically magicians, you would call them and be like, all right, I've done a bad thing, come help out. They're all going to meet each other. Baljeet and Buford are going to finally kind of maybe a little bit answer their unspoken thing. Isabella's going to get that shit that she wanted with Phineas. By the end of it, I was like, Phineas, if you don't kiss this girl, I will. Hurry the hell up. It was so good. Like, I really enjoyed it. Fantastic second act.
It was crazy because it's essentially like Phineas and Ferb fan fiction, right? Like, it fulfills all of the things that the show,
but
like
it
the
was
show
good.
Left unspoken.
Like, with most fan fiction, it's like, but this was good. Like, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that, like, when we were doing the read through, I was actually amazed. I was like, wow, this is a full on Phineas and Ferb episode. This is really well written. Like, the jokes are straight out of the show, and it's I was like, wow, okay, yeah, this is good. I was like, I wasn't really expecting too much, you know, from a Phineas and Ferb musical, but I was like, damn, okay, yeah. Andrew is.
I mean, we've been doing an episode a week for literally 2 years, and this just slots straight into our watch through. Like, we go through two seasons, we do this, and then we do the other two seasons, and it doesn't even feel weird because it's just like the jokes fit with the show's vibe, and it's funny. And it's got things that, like,
meta, like,
yeah,
you do the meta
the
same way.
It just fits all of that. I guess that's probably the highest compliment you can give it. It just fits in with the rest of Phineas and Ferb, which is insane.
Yeah.
That was the goal, and I very much appreciate those words.
Yeah, the dialogue was, like, so, like, it was refined. It was all great. I loved how you did not only Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated jingle for the start, and then you also did the After Hours one, which is so underappreciated. It doesn't get used enough, and it's so good.
And then Doofenshmirtz's Basement.
The Basement one I forgot existed until like a month before we aired, because I was like looking for shots of Doofenshmirtz's Basement to use as the background for Therapy, and then I found that jingle as a result, so I just put it back in.
Yeah. Oh my god. Actually, speaking of doing the backgrounds, how did you manage that? Like, you had to get these plates of like high quality part, like scenes from the show without the characters in them. Did you like
edit
find a scene
or
where they move from left to right and then comp the left and the right?
Yeah.
Part, or
it was a lot of that. I mean, obviously the easiest is if there happens to be a shot in the show where there just are no characters in the shot, but more often than not, it would be like, yeah, Doof is on the left side of the frame, and then he's on the right side of the frame, and then you screenshot both, and then you splice them together. And then there are some instances where the characters, like, never move out of the way, and that's when we really have to Photoshop. I would sometimes, like, send Tammy backgrounds with characters in them and be like, remove this plist, and she'd send me back a file that says, like, I removed it, bitch, are you happy? Like, just constant sending backgrounds back and forth to each other. And then a couple of them...
I complain a lot, but, like, I actually enjoy, like, doing Photoshop and stuff. So, yeah. I was just glad to help, you know?
You guys have so much more patience than me. I despise Adobe's products, so I can't.
Also, just the skill with the Photoshop. I've never tried it, but the results are amazing. And just for getting backgrounds for this, it works so well because you know where people are and what they're doing. And I really liked also because most of it. Oh, you go. Oh.
Sorry, I wanted, while we're on the topic of backgrounds, I want to give a quick shout out to Carly, who designed our poster. She drew, I think, 3 of the backgrounds for the locations that like just didn't ever exist on Phineas and Ferb. So the laser tag coliseum, the inside was her. The waiting room that Linda waits in at the doctor's office, and then Jenny's room. And oh my god, you guys, we never like see Jenny's room in Phineas and Ferb because she's just like a minor character. But she sent me those backgrounds that looked like pretty close to the Phineas and Ferb art style, so I was thrilled.
Yeah, they fit in really well.
Yeah, Carly's epic. She also, did she do the poster, if I recall correctly?
Yeah. She did our poster. She did a lot of the drawings during the intermission of, like, the characters. She also did those. Our album covers. She's our art person.
I remember watching her her Instagram story when the musical comes out, and she was just, like, so hyped for it. It was, like, 100 slides of just, like, laughing at every joke. that's what I love the most about this whole thing. There's just, like, clearly so much passion and excitement around this project that you guys have done.
Yeah, you can tell every single person in it loves Phineas and Ferb. Like, it's so good.
It's such a welcoming fan community and such a cool thing to see people doing. It's great.
It was wonderful.
I've still got so much to talk about. Like, I'm just trying to pick something. All right, we'll go for the classic. So when we last talked to you as well, you mentioned that Isabella doesn't get to do a What You're Doing properly. You only have to do it like two times.
She's still salty.
Yeah, no, she doesn't. Yeah, I'm salty. I was watching. I was like, come on, where is it? Oh, we missed out.
I've still got the What You're Doing like recorded from last time when you were like, look at how good I can do it. And it's a bit criminal that never ended up in the show.
Well, but you get the dramatic pause in Summer Nights when she's like, wonder what Chad doing now.
There was so many things like that where you changed a line just subtly to be about Phineas and Ferb, and as soon as it clicked that was what like you'd done it, you're like, oh, of course they chose this song for this particular moment, because it was just like, you know what I mean, like that makes so much sense as soon as you hear that line.
Another my one is he's a cute, you know what I mean, that one is stupid. Stupid.
That took me too long. I was like,
he,
why are you
and
laughing?
I had to rewind it for him. And I was like, no, he's a cute,
like
he's a triangle,
like
Joseph.
An angle. And I'm like, Joseph. Oh, I did maths.
I vividly remember writing that line while I was working at an escape room, and I went through like 50 different iterations of trying to give Isabella a line there, and then I thought of this pun and I showed it to my coworkers and they all just like groaned and threw things at me, and I'm like, yeah, that'll work.
That's perfect. That's what we want.
I loved the cameos, right? You can't talk about this show without talking about those three cameos.
We're
going to
bring these up. So we'll start with Vincent Martella. That was the first one. Fantastic. I love Vincent Martella. I love him talking to your Phineas. It was great.
Yeah, there's not a real lot to say. How did you manage to get those? How did you go about that?
So each one came about slightly differently. Dan and Swampy luckily just like followed us on social media, which meant that we could DM them and they replied. Swampy in particular is like pretty responsive when it comes to fans. Vincent specifically, Carly happens to know him. They're like friends, like and just message all the time. So she reached out to me for us. Thanks, yeah. They were all wonderful. They, Vincent, I think of the three of them, was the one that like most clearly followed the directions. That's why he's the only one that's like the other actors is like turned. So it actually looks like he's talking to Phineas. The other sent us videos of them staring at the camera, and I'm like, you know what? This is, it's perfect. Like we'll just adapt the scene. It's fine.
I'm not going to tell them how to do it.
I'm looking at your boss in the mouth sort of thing. Right. Bit of, yeah, because also they're animation guys, whereas Vince is like he's an actor.
Team. Yeah, I think that's probably what contributed to it.
Yeah, for sure. And he even like had, like pacing, he was giving his lines a little bit of room to breathe. I was like, damn.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing, like his physicality, where he was looking, how he was doing it. He was acting properly. It was great.
My favorite line from the three cameos.
No, this is my favorite line. Okay, and you're not
this is his favorite line in the whole show. So,
there's two, because I have to have two, of course I do. But this is definitely one of them, and it's when Dan comes in and they like open up the extra universe or dimension, and he just slightly roasts
the whole show,
especially Doof, and I'm like, that is one of the best cameos I've ever seen.
I get paid and you don't.
I loved it. That was so good.
Then we roast him right back by saying he spends too much time on TikTok,
which is very true.
Yeah. And he's how many million followers would agree, maybe not agree, but yes.
Yeah. And I loved how when they saw each other, they were both just like, hello. And that exact same voice. Like, it sounded like it was the same audio clip played twice, but it was coming from two different mouths. It was ridiculous.
I do also want to bring up more the implication side, which is what the podcast is about. So we might do that, maybe. So it's like another dimension, right? Are we saying that the dimension they were looking into is ours, the one we know of Phineas and Ferb, or another one where Dan Povenmire is Doofenshmirtz, i.e. like actually Doofenshmirtz makes it Naters, and it's like a live action instead of anime.
Yeah, is that the live action universe?
Well, that universe does exist because of Dan Povenmire's TikToks, so I'm going to say that, yes.
Dan Povenmire TikTok universe.
He is Doofenshmirtz.
Because if you go through some of Dan's TikToks, like, not only is he Doofenshmirtz, but sometimes he puts, like, a little, like, plush Perry in. He got Olivia Olsen to be Vanessa once, so I would
and
argue
he had,
that.
Swampy in one of them, I remember.
Yeah. So that's probably just, like, its own universe.
Okay, so we were seeing that universe and not the Phineas and Ferb one? Like, I want to make sure.
We've got at least three alternate universes here. Yeah. So what I'm thinking, right, having...
Having seen
Spider-Man, when are we getting our Phineas and Ferb Avengers movie? Like a big.
It's funny. We actually contacted Andrew Garfield for MWCA, but he didn't get back to us. So
yeah, well, you know, he's a busy guy.
He is quite busy. He wasn't doing Spider-Man. If you asked him,
He was doing everything except Spider-Man.
He always looked so uncomfortable when people asked him about that.
He just lied. Well, he had to. It was so funny, though, because he's like, I'm not in the Spider-Man. Stop saying I'm in the Spider-Man.
He was trying his best.
And everyone's like, you are. He's
been gaslighting everyone for so long at this point, I think he believes it himself.
Like, they're going to interview him, like 3 months from now, and he's like, I wasn't in that movie. Like, that wasn't me.
It was literally a deep fake Photoshop. That's someone else.
It's a Photoshop. I love
that. I'm not in it. I was never contacted.
We have photos of you on set. It's a Photoshop. And you're like, come on, man.
If you want to expand the universe even further, it's been a while, but Taylor used to do TikToks not only as Candace, but as Second Dimension Candace. So that's like a fifth universe we can slide in here.
Oh, my God. And also, like, Second Dimension in itself. That's
So we can do a full pull three different Phineases here.
Oh, you could do literally, like, just one character and pull, like, all six different versions of them. And like the live actions and the cartoons and the TikTok version and then stuff.
That's how we get Rosemary and Tom Cruise at the same time.
Yeah, yes. And that's how we get Henry
and D. Bradley Baker.
Yes. Oh my, it's all coming together.
I've always wanted to be those two angry Muppet guys who review the Muppets. So we'll just bring those in and we can just stand there as Muppets talking about Phineas and Ferb. Yeah.
So MWCA2, Multiverse of Madness. Wow. There's your pitch.
It's all coming together.
It's all coming together. Write that down, Andrew. Get onto it.
You can't sleep. Script. Just keep writing. We need it.
That's a joke. You should sleep and rest and chill.
Next year, though.
We keep getting comments asking for a sequel, and I'm like, thank you so much. That's very flattering. No heart emotion.
No.
It's a miracle that we got everybody back to just do the Christmas album, and I think doing a whole other one is just a bit too much. I'm happy with what we have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be happy that the quality is just...
Mwah. Yeah, that's something Swampy mentioned, that they didn't want to keep doing it until it, like, got tired sort of thing.
Dexter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ending on a really high note is very underrated. It really...
Well, this is less because I don't have more ideas and more just because trying to get 40 actors who all live in different places to send you clips is something nobody should ever have to experience.
It sounds nightmarish, like the amount of green screening alone that you would have done.
I understand how hard it would be, but like, just based on what we've seen Andrew write, though, I do want to see more, like, other ideas that you have, though, I will say, because I think your script writing is very, very nice, so I'm like, what other ideas do you have?
I appreciate that. I mean, hopefully, based on how this pandemic goes, like, in-person theater can be a thing again. It sort of was for a little bit.
Yeah. Momentarily.
We'll see.
We all vaccinated.
Yeah,
and
it would be nice if the world stopped ending for like 5 goddamn minutes so we could have some live music and live theater and stuff.
Yeah.
A bit sick and tired of living through once-in-a-lifetime events. I'm up to like 4 and I'm 19, so.
It's like, can we get back to some precedented times? Like, I'm tired of unprecedented times.
Candace has PTSD from Simps.
Yeah, she does. You're right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
I just
you?
Wanted to say that without context.
But the whole thing where Candace sees the squirrels and just like starts having flashbacks was hilarious.
Yes.
And Joe realized you could phrase it like that, which is just objectively hilarious.
It's fantastic. And also she is a psycho and she's still a psycho, which I'm glad you kept that up.
Yeah, like, kept it consistent.
Yeah.
And they cast a psycho too.
Yeah, well, I was like, sometimes those unhinged eyes and the creepy laugh, it's like, you go a little...
Oh my god.
I was a little method. I don't think I was fun to live around.
My favorite video clip that Taylor sent us was in Big Fun, when that shot where she's like staring out the window and her eyes like twitching. And then I edited it to make it so that all of the lasers from the Coliseum were like flashing in her face as she does that.
It looks like a murder scene.
Yeah, I sent this back to Zach, who was like editing most of Big Fun, and he was like, I feel scared. Like, she looks like she's going to murder me. And I'm like, that was the goal.
Oh my god.
It's so good.
Like, you were fantastic as Candace as well.
Oh,
yeah,
thanks.
I've got that written on my notes.
Yeah,
Taylor has an incredible voice, specifically.
Oh,
Mr. Music Man over here.
We still get comments like every day that are like, "Is that Ashley Tisdale? That sounds like Ashley Tisdale."
Wow. Yeah, it was amazing, incredible impressions, and also like the whole cartoon physicality thing is just like insane.
Yeah, like the dancing, it's like. You did it flawlessly, like it is in the cartoon. Oh. That's not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah, like, doing all of the cartoony movements and all of that sort of stuff. Like when Tammy did the whole, like, oh, you can't see me, but
he's doing the dramatic like hands together. It's
big
quite
size
funny.
And stuff, and the big head movements and everything. It was you actually.
Taylor did train quite a bit with squirrels in her pants too.
So. Oh, with the video, I mean?
Yeah, with the video and literal squirrels in
it. It is my method. No, it's gonna be the only way to get those sorts of results.
I wanna give credit to TikTok for that. I feel like creating TikToks has just like made a lot of people more accustomed to that kind of like exaggerated cartoon physicality, because people just, I don't know, it became a trend and it ended up working really well for us.
Yeah, and the speaking fast as well as Candace was really good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I do find some parts of TikTok very, very annoying, but I think that the coolest yes. thing that TikTok has done in a massive way has it's like opened the world to video content in a lot of ways, like musicians and artists and theater people and people doing hyper real stuff and like people doing interesting things with editing and cutting and all of that sort of stuff. And I think mm-hmm. that's one of the coolest impacts it's had, because it used to be all about just low resolution Instagram photos, and now it's actually vibey, interesting mm-hmm. video content, which is a yeah. step up, I would say.
We'd always like notice that TikTok is just such a strange platform. We have our MWCA platform on TikTok, and we would like sometimes post like our actual like well edited music videos, like, you know, Room Where It Happens or whatever, and they do okay. They get like a couple thousand views, but then like Tammy will post a video of her like making one joke as Isabella with like one background, no editing whatsoever, and that one gets like 100,000 views, and that's just kind of how the platform goes.
Yeah, the internet is a fickle place.
Yeah, but I mean, if it weren't for TikTok, like this version of the show literally wouldn't exist. So
yeah,
I give it thanks to that.
Yeah, which is awesome. Just a big team up of people. It's epic.
All right, one other implication that was a fantastic idea. I don't know who came up with it.
Implications about Phineas and Ferb on the implications of Phineas and Ferb. Let's not go to the topic.
I know. It's too much. But Ducky Mo Go, the Pokemon Go thing that Doof plays and loves, that was fantastic. That's some of the best, like, 10 seconds in the entire show. I was cackling through all of it. And, it was... because he would love that. He yeah. would love Pokemon Go, but it's Ducky Mo Go.
From what I gathered from, because we watched Nerds of a Feather recently. That was mm-hmm. one of the episodes we watched like a little while ago.
Mm.
And that was obviously like a riff on Lord of the Rings versus Star Wars, Star Trek sort of thing. And I got the impression that Ducky Momo was just the My Little Pony fandom.
Yeah.
Does that mean that Doof is a brony?
He's a moni.
Well, the implication that we have is that Candace introduces him to Ducky Momo. So, like, maybe Candace infected him with the bronyism.
Infected.
But, yeah, I want to give credit. So, the Ducky Mogo itself is a joke they make on Milo Murphy's Law in the Phineas and Ferb crossover.
Right.
That wasn't unique to our show. But what was unique was Sam's reaction to it, which wasn't directed. That was just Sam decided to play it. Like, I am obsessed with this game and just let it linger for like 10 seconds, and that was one of the many things that Sam did as Doof that just made me like love working with
Sam. Sam was having a riot.
Yeah, Sam was the second most fun. Apart from Perry, he was having like the most fun. He was enjoying every part of it, and I loved to see like how happy he was, and like he was hunched and he was screaming, cursing. It was so good.
Yeah, like for like Candace's physicality, like she is just normal person shaped apart from her AirPod head, whereas Doof is like just a like full-on cartoon character villain, and Sam got the actual hunch.
Yeah,
I'm like, he's poor chiropractor.
It's a lot of fun too. Just he's really great to like work off of and stuff. Like he's a lot of like he's just really into that character, and we have a lot of fun banter and whatnot. We have a lot of fun
working with I think that one of my favorite parts too is Sam is so, they're so off the cuff that like like you don't know what to expect, and that actually like being an actor and working with someone who is like they just say the most like random version of the line ever, and it's way more fun to work that way with somebody like that. It makes it way more interesting and fresh. Yeah.
Radiant.
So Sam was one of the few people I cast who I knew in person. They didn't play Doofenshmirtz in the original college version, but they were in it. They had an ensemble part because they happened to be putting on their own musical at the time. But like, when we were casting, people were like, you know, like Sam doesn't have like the most canny like Doofenshmirtz impression, like. But I was like, guys, trust me, like if you give Sam this part, they're just gonna like find things to do that are gonna be amazing. Because I first met them when they played Lurch in the Addams Family, just like being super loud and going all the time, and like I think that they're just an amazing physical comedian.
I actually played Pugsley in the Addams Family when I was like nine or 10, which is because there was like basically no guys in theater at our school because it's very like small country town. There wasn't very many theater people in general. Yeah. I look nothing like Pugsley. I'm a string bean, and I was even more like just tall with no width when I was in year nine.
You did have the white skin though.
Yeah, I'm very proud. But I was just playing this little crazy boy, and it was really fun. It's one of my great theater
memories. They didn't give you any padding or anything?
No padding, no.
Just put a pillow in there.
I was just walking around, and the t-shirt was still sized for padding. So I was in this giant t-shirt. It was absolutely ridiculous, but it was a lot of fun. Something I wanted to mention with Sam, his performance was like off the cuff, but as we know, contrast like makes things like way stronger. And something I really liked, Isaac, when you were playing Norm, you played it so straight and so like exactly like the show. And when it's in a cartoon, they're both cartoon characters doing cartoon stuff. So it's kind of like, it's already a bit over the top. Whereas the fact you were just so, like, you were exactly like the cartoon, but you're a real person just kind of standing there and doing this perfect impression. And then Sam's just going nuts next to you. Yeah. The contrast of that just made both performances so much funnier. Like, your delivery of the, I know my heart is real because it is breaking. It hit harder than the actual show. Like, it was hilarious.
Thank you.
Well, and then also, like, we've been roommates through this whole process of filming. I would be, like, waiting for my scene. So, like, I would have to stand there and watch. And sometimes I would stare Isaac in the eyes, like, when he was, like, and he was just staring off at nothing like this. And I would just stare at him in the eyes. Like,
glazed.
Yeah, and it was so...
Candace with the most intense eyes of all time and Norm with, like, the most, like, spaced out eyes of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. They both have deranged eyes, but Norm just looks off, whereas Candace looks at you and like stares into your soul.
Just like, right, you're just staring slightly through people.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. You really sold the robot thing. That was great.
Oh, thank you.
I want to go back to the Christmas album real quick just to say, so every single track we did on the Christmas album was just like people did recordings and sent them to us, except for the one we did with Doofenshmirtz and Norm, because I really wanted Sam and Isaac to like actually be able to interact with each other again. So that one we hopped on a Zoom call and they ad-libbed a bunch of stuff. It ended up being like 7 minutes long. I didn't think it was that long when we were recording it, but it's just them reading this stupid Christmas poem, and I was so happy to get to see their Doof and Norm again.
Yeah, that helped.
Yeah, just
doing
playing
it live,
with each other.
Yeah.
That's so good.
I had a question. So when you're actually recording it, did you just like screen record the Zoom chat? Is that how it worked? How did people know when to leave and come back?
Rehearsal.
Yeah.
A lot of rehearsals.
We had a stage management team handling, like, dragging people's windows to be in the correct positions. And
yeah, it was so funny, too, because it felt like a live theater, like, tech rehearsal. Like, I felt like I was waiting in the wings, even though I was at home. Like, my kitchen was, like, right there. It was so... It felt like that kind of energy. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was very weird at first because we were all worried that this experience would not be the same as if it were like a live production of sorts. But once the actual date just came around, the adrenaline just back. And like, it was a unique experience. But it had the same feeling as a live performance because it was live for us since we were recording it.
And I think what helped too is we kind of set the precedent, like saying, okay, so these are our two film days, and we're not like, if we can help it, unless something goes really wrong, we aren't going to re-record this. Like, we're not going to go back to the beginning of the scene. We're going to go straight through and have everyone be correctly timed and everything. So that helped. Yeah.
I think some people, like actors, would be like, so wait, if this whole thing is pre-recorded, why don't we just do it scene by scene? But I was like, no, I want it to feel like you're in a show. And I think that ended up helping. From what I heard from a lot of actors, it felt more like they were actually in a production.
Yeah, because, I mean, part of the, like, this is a passion project. They're not getting paid to do perfectly high quality, amazing show. They're getting there to have fun, right? And most of, like, the funnest part of theater is the bouncing off people and the energy in the room and all of that sort of stuff. And, like, you wouldn't have gotten that if you were just filming on a green screen by yourself.
God, you should see some of the... Because the aspect of the show that we didn't have people bouncing off each other were all of the songs and, you know, the, like, truly pre-recorded segments. And some of the raw videos we'd get from people are so funny because they'd be in front of the camera, like, super smiling and energetic and, like, cartoon physicality. And the song ends and their face just goes like completely dead because they're like, they're sweaty, they're in all this makeup, they're in front of this green screen, this is like their 11th take, and they're like fucking like I
want to get out of
dead
here
inside.
Are we allowed to cuss on the show?
Yeah, of course.
We mark it as for adults on YouTube because
okay, good.
We've been keeping, like, I've been keeping it quite mild because of you guys, like,
but yeah, we
talking about swearing. Buford's swear
drops,
line.
Buford what? Nearly drops an F-bomb.
I don't know. Because how you did it was fantastic. But I don't know if it would have been better if he just did it. Like, if he just swore. Like, yeah. I'm still tossing it up between my head, just having him just...
Was cutting it off or was just, like, full send, fuck. You know, like...
That was a conversation, like, we had. Yeah.
Yeah. Was, yeah. How big was the discussion?
We have,
was Buford on...
We have the take of Ben saying the full word...
Yes.
But Taylor sort of, like, urged me not to use it.
It was my fault that he didn't say it. And my reasoning is because, especially since I knew that a lot of, like, the people who are my following and are Phineas and Ferb followers, they're on the younger side. And I didn't know, like, I knew a lot of people personally were going to try to watch this with their kids.
Mm.
So I said, maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm glad we took the Lion King route, kind of with
the Lion
with
King,
you know,
yeah.
The whole, like, Timon and Pumbaa, like, you know, that dynamic where you, mm-hmm.
yeah.
And then they did a joke that was, like, basically the same exact joke in Muppets Haunted Mansion, which came out, like, a couple months after our show.
Oh, they stole it.
They stole it from us.
It's unoriginal. Exactly. If you want to send that take to us, I'm happy to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense because. Swampy talked about this when he was talking with us. He was like, you can make a show that is both smart enough to engage kids and, like, appropriate for kids while also having jokes for their
release
for
the F cut.
But yeah, release the fuck cut is
release
what I'm saying
fuck
here.
Another take that we didn't release came from the Fireside Girls anthem. Because it was, like, really extra, but we had Tammy record, like, three different lines at the beginning of that song. One is like, hey there, TikTok followers, we're the Fireside Girls, and this is our anthem. And I was like, okay, but we need a version for the stream. So she's like, hey there, viewers. And then I was like, okay, but we need a version for the cast album. So it was supposed to be, hey there, listeners. And she sends me a take that's like, hey there, bitches, we're the Fireside Girls. And this is our...
I want that as well.
So good. Especially because, like, the Buford's already the offensive character, whereas Isabel is supposed to be, like, the most wholesome character on the entire show.
Like, just sweet.
If she's just like, hey there, bitches. The absolute contrast that would have been. I'm pretty sure you can get away with saying bitch and still keep your thing M-rated. Like, it doesn't bump the rating
I think,
up. So.
Aren't you G? G? PG?
Tell me we gotta release it.
Would this get rated?
We have to.
Put it in the fuck cut. I want
to
see it.
I mean, I had to have a little fun with that. Andrew was asking me for, like, a lot of takes. And, like, first of all, as most of you may know, my first language is not English. So, therefore, it's already hard for me. To, like, do a lot of dialogue. I need to basically practice a lot of it first in order so that it comes out good. So it's not that I was tired, but I wanted to let a little bit out of my system.
Bit of energy out there.
Exactly.
We'll put it in the R-rated universe.
100% R-rated universe.
Isabella may be very sweet and cute and wholesome, but I'm fairly certain that, like, she could kill anybody else in the Phineas and Ferb universe if she really wanted to.
Oh
definitely.
We see that sort of contrast twice in the MWCA with Isabella as well, when she, like, yells at them for the laser tag about with the dungeon and Parrish. That was fantastic delivery, and I loved it.
The dungeon! Oh, God.
And also, I know what you're going to bring up here, with Barjeet.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Because we hadn't really seen that a whole lot, Barjeet doing that. We've seen Isabella do that. And yeah, Barjeet's fantastic line as well was...
Do you want a piece of me?
Do you want a piece of me?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Dude, there are so many... There's videos that we have from rehearsals of that scene where Agraz just like completely destroyed his microphone trying to yell that line because it was balanced until he had to shout that line and then it was not.
Yeah, because his delivery was very soft and I noticed that like in a lot of the songs it was noticeable that he was closer to his mic because he was obviously recording quite soft and just like transitioning straight to shouting. Like it still peaked in the take that you used on the show.
Yeah,
I can't imagine
fantastic.
How that would have been. That would have been balancing that. That would have been insane. He did amazing, by the way. We haven't mentioned him yet, but he destroyed it.
Yeah, his voice was very good.
He's also the one, I think, in closest proximity to you guys. He's over in Thailand, so he had to wake up very early to come to a lot of our rehearsals. And I very much appreciate him for it.
Losing a lot of sleep.
Yeah, you know.
I think everyone did on this production.
Yeah, this doesn't seem like many of you guys had healthy sleep schedules. You don't make a 3-hour TikTok musical and have a good sleep schedule.
So was he the furthest time zone?
We had somebody in our ensemble who was in China, but she never had to log on to Zoom calls with us. So in terms of people who had to work out time zones, Agraz was definitely the furthest.
Oh, that's interesting. Like very international.
Yeah, Tammy's in Argentina.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But the time zones are not that bad.
Yeah, we have somebody in Canada, but he's in the same time zone as I am, so...
It's insane how it's, like, this big production with people so far away. Like, a normal show like this, you'd have to have people in the same town or, like, close to each other, but you've got people in different countries coming together to do this.
Yeah, like, this completely different countries. It's crazy how far this Phineas and Ferb has spread.
Yeah, the scale of it all, you know, the 3-hour project with multiple countries and multiple time zones and like all of this fancy editing and stuff. You really did a lot here.
That brings up an interesting question. How long were like all your rehearsals and your takes? Like how, like, was it like 4 months for you to film everything or?
We started rehearsing in January 2021. So about a year ago. And then we did a couple rehearsals a week until April, and then we had like our tech week, so to speak, where we had people going on Zoom every day for like 4 hours for a whole week. And that only covered the scenes, so all of the songs, there wasn't really like a schedule as much as just like, hey, send in your recordings for this video by this day. And
yeah, bro.
That, I've not been able to tally how many cumulative hours people spent filming in front of green screens, but the answer is a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I just a line that I absolutely loved with the pinwheel and the stadium floating away. I think it's Phineas. Yeah, he goes, is the pinwheel supposed to be spinning that fast and have the load-bearing capacity to carry the entire Colosseum?
Love it.
Very, very classic Phineas and Ferb, what the hell's going on here, sort of.
And then we have Buford saying, I'm the one who's been carrying.
Yeah, because he's been actually winning it, I assume.
Yeah, I did like that. There's not a lot of, like, Gen Z sort of references in Phineas and Ferb, because obviously Swampy and Dan are a fair bit older than that. But you guys had just, like, a little bit of slang in here occasionally.
About the TikTok, about the swearing.
We threw in a bell yeet. RJ, who played Ferb, like put in a lot of like really like subtle like Gen Z things through his physicality. Like he does a bunch of like little TikTok moves here and there if you look closely enough. So that was really fun.
His performance was fantastic, by the way. He just had that like awkward standing around silent energy that Ferb has, which is like he's literally a cartoon character, and 90% of the time his face is completely static. So how you act that. Like, you've got no cues whatsoever, at least with Phineas and Candace and Isabella, you've got an actual voice and a physicality to go off, whereas Ferb's just kind of there. The most performance you've got is his blinks.
Well, we would do like, character work at rehearsals, right? We'd, like, ask people questions about their characters and, like, how would your character respond to this situation? And I would make Ferb do them, too, even though, like, it doesn't seem like it should translate... into a lot because Ferb doesn't have any lines, but I think it ultimately you know, helps him get like more into what it Ferb is and the goofy.
Also, it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just to watch him, you give him a like a scenario and he just stands there and looks at you back and you're like, fantastic. Well done.
Perfect. Say no more.
Perfect. Say no more.
And then the contrast of that when you're doing Summer Nights and he's just like, oh, well, oh, well, oh, well, oh. I'm like, that's hilarious.
That's good stuff. Also, Buford, when he justifies punching a cat, that was so good. It's like, I
that
don't was mind using...
that absolutely got Joe. I don't know why that of all jokes
that
destroyed
was
him.
Funny
but
as hell.
He paused it just to laugh
and
for
then rewind
seconds.
It a little bit just to hear him say the
when,
like
when he like excuses himself.
I don't mind using like, cartoonish violence and anamorphic animals to yeah. in self defense to protect my friends. So if you'll excuse me, I'm gonna punch a cat. like, yes, you do that.
He had such a good delivery.
And yeah, it's I don't know why that of all jokes absolutely got him, but it really did. It was probably the biggest laugh that he got the whole show.
Slapstick humor's always it's just my go-to.
Mm. Oh, logistical question I have got in. Big Fun, right? I am aware from last time that this was the one that caused the most headaches.
Yeah.
How did you get the laser tag equipment to everyone? Because everyone's wearing the same laser tag equipment, but apparently you're in a million different countries and time zones.
The laser gun and the laser tag vests, how are they all the same?
I went on Walmart.com and found a set that was relatively cheap that could ship to most of the people. I did have to ship it to the person in Canada, because they couldn't get it in Canada. And then a garage over in Thailand just straight up could not get that same laser tag equipment. So he printed out a version. So if you look closely, you'll see that a garage is very much not the same. But everyone else
so,
is...
So like 3D prints his laser
no,
tag.
No, I'm talking about like literally like on a sheet of paper that he like painted on his overalls. Like it's not high quality, but there's enough going on the screen that you can't really tell unless you're looking closely.
Yeah, no, I didn't even notice. Yeah. And I was like looking at the images for all sorts of stuff, so yeah, I'm gonna rewatch it for that.
And I really liked how just tonally with the whole show there was all of this stuff that was so insanely high quality, but there was enough little things like that where something little went wrong or something, or like something, you know, the green screen wasn't perfect or whatever, that it just felt this really earnest, this is a fan thing,
down to earth,
that down to earth, yeah, sort of stuff. And it ended up meaning that like
sincerity,
any little thing like that, instead of being, oh no, they didn't spend enough money here, it was like,
this
look
is
at
real
how
people.
Much of a cool passion project this, like it sort of became this more earnest, this
look how much we care, look at
we're
what,
going to the effort of printing paper out and making all of that sort of stuff.
It reminds you know, that, you know, like, I mean, really. You know, it's not real, you know what I mean? Because it, like, it makes you respect the fact, like, oh wow, I was so, like, invested in what I was watching, and then I noticed that and realized, like, oh my gosh, wait, this is just people just doing this.
Honestly, one of my favorite things that we included in the show was the actual, not even the credits, but the thing after the credits. We did Us Against the Universe, and our assistant stage manager, Clarice, put together a slideshow of just, like, production photos, because that's, like, the only time that we showed people in front of green screens, and I wanted to, like, the viewer to see, like, oh, this is what it actually looked like when they were doing it. Because by the time we were done editing, I was like, oh, you can't even, like, see the most of the yeah.
And, I mean, something that just owns its own cringe is just completely impossible to take down, because it was just, like... you know, completely owned it, and it was earnest and all of that.
If we make enough jokes about the fact that we're doing a cheesy show over Zoom, then people can't make those jokes to us.
Yeah, exactly. there was enough lampshades hung in the room that it was.
There was a lot of dabbing in that last bit, which was great.
Oh, that was so good. Just the dabbing montage right at the end.
There's people tabbing. I'm like, I don't know where this started, but I'm happy it's happening.
That was not... We didn't, like, tell people to do that. We just... eventually had enough clips of people tapping.
You were like, we're putting this all together.
I
also loved how Doof's plan at the start was literally just create chlorine scarcity.
Yeah, so the entire plot of Act One is based on one joke, which is you got trouble from the Music Man, which is trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. And I was listening to that song in, like, 2016, and I was like, evil with a capital E, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool and Aider. So naturally, Doof has to make a an eight revolving around swimming pools so that we can have this one joke. And then the rest of the scheme came out of that.
You just follow the thread all the way.
Yeah.
Until it completely unravels.
I thought that Anator was more in line with Doof's like making Anators than the animal enslave Anator. I thought that was too good of an Anator, to be honest. I'm like,
but it was because Perry couldn't stop him because Candace was there. Because Candace was in the room, so we couldn't get him to stop
like,
it.
And as that's in why it... making that, like, that idea was low-key too good.
Oh, yeah, a bit
Doof.
Too evil for the evil scientist.
Yeah. No, I'm like, I'm fully aware that we do, like, get a little bit away from the Phineas and Ferb tone in Act 2. And it was mostly because we had to, otherwise the plot of Candace figuring out why her brother's inventions are gone, like, in order for that to have any drama, Doof had to be eviler.
Yeah, and I mean, by season 4, Jan and... Dan and Swampy were doing the exact same thing with like completely deviating from their formula. And then you guys have done this like years after the show ended. So it's hit that post meta time where you're almost like the people that are watching it watch the show when they were a kid. So you're not doing just another episode. You're doing like a deconstruction of that formula.
Kind of flipping it on its head. Yeah.
And to be fair, it was actually Norm's idea. Technically.
That's true. That's
yeah, true. It was your idea.
What's the story here?
No, like actually
in the show, it was Norm.
We could make an Anator that stops all animals within
a several mile radius. Right, yeah. That line that you love. Yes. You love saying that
all right,
line.
Yeah. That was
an implication, speaking of the podcast theme. Norm has a hamster in him. Did it control the hamster in Norm?
Oh, do I control? I am the hamster.
So this was brought up again for a Christmas album because we made a joke about Doof not buying Norm new batteries, and someone was like, "Isn't he hamster controlled?" He's controlled by a hamster in like one episode of Phineas and Ferb, but he's controlled by gasoline in a different one, and he's controlled by batteries in a different one. There's no consistency within Phineas and Ferb itself.
He is definitely a cartoon robot, that's for sure.
Complicated robot. There's a lot of components.
Unless Isaac, you want to explain how he uses the gasoline and the hamster and the batteries.
Yeah, it all connects. It all, you know.
The hamster, the hamster has to stay drunk on gasoline. And then if he's too drunk, he needs a backup battery because he's going to pass out.
The batteries power the TV that the hamster watches while he's running on the hamster.
Mm, yeah.
Right.
And the gasoline is lubricant for the hamster.
Now that's thinking like Doof.
There we go.
That's the canonical version of Norm's energy power source now. We've confirmed it.
Because the hamster's just lazy. It just won't run unless there's a TV going.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
I reckon we should probably wrap this up now.
Yeah, I reckon just about.
Do you have any things you want to plug? Tell us about what you're doing, where you're going in the future. TikTok, I guess.
What are the plans? When are the auditions for MWCA2? Have you cast us as Phineas and Ferb yet, et cetera, et cetera? Yeah, of course. Yep, yep, yep.
Musical Without a Cool Acronym is out on YouTube.
Definitely
watch it. We put a lot of care and effort into it. Our Christmas album is also out. It's 14 songs, and we did 3 music videos for that as well. We did music videos for Swinter and The 12 Days of Christmas and Must Be Swampy, which is a parody of Must Be Santa about Jeff Swampy Marsh. And there are some fun cameos in that one too, some that we didn't even get within MWCA itself, so definitely check that out. Our cast album is also worth checking out. It has not only every single song within MWCA, but also all of the promo songs we made for TikTok and Instagram and wherever. It's like 42 songs. It's absurdly long. But you can find that on YouTube and SoundCloud and Bandcamp. You can follow me personally at Nachos Rule, Nachos spelled with a Z, on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and everywhere else.
I'd personally recommend his Twitter. It's an absolute banger.
Oh, thank you. Forgot I was on that
Excellent
one.
Excellent memes on there.
What about you, Tammy? Anything you want to promote?
Well, most of the things I'm working on are in Spanish, so probably the people listening won't even understand this. I'm working on...
you can say it in Spanish if you prefer.
I'm working on translating the entire Sixth the Musical. You know, it's a musical about the six wives of Henry VIII. And yeah, we've been working on it for almost a year now, and it's finally coming out, I guess, this year, hopefully. So you can follow my social media at Tammy Rosales basically everywhere. So yeah, everywhere. That's pretty much it.
Very consistent. I love it. I love it. And Taylor and Isaac, got anything to promo?
Nothing to promote. Actually, yes, I do. I will be in a Star Wars fan film that will be released later this year called Legacy of the Mandalorian.
I'll be making a small cameo too.
Yes, I am. Did you hear about it?
Yeah, I heard about that.
You did?
I had no idea.
Who are you in that?
As a character named Saar, she's a former pilot who is now transforming and going through the trials of as a Jedi Knight. So I'm a Jedi. Ooh. Yes. So
cool. We nearly went a whole episode without mentioning Star Wars, but didn't happen.
Yeah, we have a running thing where we complain about pretty much all of Star Wars while simultaneously praising pretty much all of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it always comes up eventually at some point. And we thought this might be the episode where Star Wars doesn't come up, but evidently not.
If you just put a microphone in front of us for too long, you will get Star Wars. So that's
and in front of me.
Implications of the legacy of the Mandalorian.
Yeah. When's the podcast?
Yeah. Season 3 finale.
So when does it come out? When can
we don't have an official release date yet. We're shooting one of the first major scenes this Sunday, but we're also using that big cool screen that they use on the Mandalorian, so it's like 3D.
You're kidding.
We're using that.
Yeah, you're so using that.
So cool. That is so cool.
I'm very excited.
No,
y'all have a budget.
they got a budget.
Where is it?
That's
crazy.
Well, we're filming here in Hollywood. So that's where we're at.
So it's like all live action.
Hollywood Hills, California.
That's yeah. Cool as hell. And so you can, there's a lot of promo happening on that. So you can follow like on Instagram, you can just follow the Legacy of the Mandalorian. And then you can follow me at Bravo Almara on Instagram and Bravo Almara 2 on TikTok. Because my other one got deleted.
I was about to say, is there a story between one?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, whoever Bravo Almara is.
Screwed me. I'm not a fan. Majorly. No, it's me.
It was you all along.
I mean, I'm not a fan of myself either. So, I mean.
Why did it get deleted? I'm curious.
Ouch. I actually
We're
didn't
all
get
fans of you, Taylor.
Yeah. Well, I need your support because apparently I just don't Yikes. Have it in myself. No, it didn't get deleted. It's still sadly there. I wish I could delete it, but I just got locked out because there was a glitch in the TikTok system, and so I logged out and then could never log back in. It wouldn't let me, so I had to make a new Ouch. One. It's all good. I have way more followers on this one, so it's fine.
You know, it has been absolutely lovely to have you guys back again, to have another catch-up.
Yes, thank you, Implicators. You and I feel like you guys, too, have a purpose in this Phineas and Ferb, like, multiverse madness. I feel like you guys are, like, the Watchers. You're the Implicators.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I love that so much. I loved What If. I love being the Watcher. And just saying I have a purpose in general it means a lot. So.
Yeah, you gave him the validation that his father didn't.
Oh, my God.
Did Isaac plug stuff?
Oh, your turn.
Oh, my plug. I'm sorry. Yes, plugging. Plugging in.
I was just going to say that.
I will make a very brief background cameo in The Legacy of the Mandalorian. You can find me pretty much across the board, Isaac J. Sprague on everything. I also have isaacjsprague.com. Got some voice acting stuff too as well. So hopefully making more voice acting projects and hopefully live theater and films start up again too. And I would love to be a part of those as well.
Yeah, I'd love that to happen as well.
Get your booster shots, everyone.
Get your booster Agreed. Shots. Get your vaccinations.
Mine's booked in for February.
In the words of Billie Eilish, it's not just for you, you selfish bitch. like, we've been talking about travel recently now that, like, I mean, still a while's away, but the world started to open back up. So if we do come over to America or Argentina, in your case, Tammy, we will have a beer.
Yes, you're very welcome to join us at a beer somewhere. It's some bar.
We have Swampy says he's going to buy us a beer when we come over the States, and we can't ever claim that because once we've had a beer, Swampy won't owe us a beer, which means we can't say that Swampy owes us a beer.
Mm.
During the live premiere of MWCA, Swampy left a comment that was like, the entire cast is invited to a party at Surfer Jack Studios when the plague is over. And I'm still waiting for his definition of the plague being over, because I want to go to that party.
Can I have like Hell a yeah. huge Phineas and Ferb party? That'd be so that would good. Be
so oh, fun. That was
so cool.
Well, yeah, fantastic catch up. Hopefully we can have, we might even...
We will find more content to talk to you about.
Find more content to talk to you about, even if like we could have just one of you on like a random separately. Assorted episode in season 3 or season 4 or something. Yeah. Just
if there's like a really big Isabella episode or a Candace one and stuff like that, it'd be so good.
All sort of stuff, catching up is always good.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. You've been great.
Thank you, agents, for tuning in to the Implications of Phineas and Ferb podcast. Now, if you don't mind, I would just like to play us out with a little ditty of mine. My whole world is this screen, just four walls of a rectangle.
All right, now that they've gone, finally we can discuss.
Finally we can talk shit about him. So Andrew's haircut, right?
Oh my God, you should have seen it. No, he was fantastic.
I don't like it for Andrew specifically.
I don't know. No, he basically does everything. Well, not everything, but he did a lot of the work. Yeah, and
this man put an entire three-hour musical together and wrote, and this is his baby project. So we can take him down a couple of pegs.
No, it's fantastic. I loved every moment. If you guys haven't seen MWCA, obviously do that. It's 3 hours, so sit down with your family. Tell them to watch it like you do Phineas and Ferb, because if you don't do that...
Force them to watch it.
Yeah.
Hold them at gunpoint. Don't do that. That was a joke.
In America... It could not be.
I mean, you're watching the news. Crazed 13-year-old holds parents at gunpoint to make them watch four Weird seasons TikTok. Of children's cartoons so that they can listen to a podcast.
But also, you know where to find us. Keep looking at us on Spotify.
Links will be in the description. The top links will be all of the links that Tammy and Andrew and Taylor and Isaac mentioned.
MWCA,
all of that sort of stuff.
Then there's us at the bottom.
Yep.
If you want to hang out with us, get us on Instagram. I might even properly set up a Discord later in the future. Who knows?
Would be fantastic.
Yeah, having everyone in there and you can talk Phineas and Ferb, talk to us, talk to MWCA if you feel like it. Be fantastic.
And much like every environment that we record in, we haven't had any cooling systems on because they make noise and it's starting to get incredibly hot and sweaty.
Yeah, I'm a sweaty motherfucker.
So let's get out of here. Joseph, I know what we've done today.
I know what we've done today.
Fuck yeah. That's season 3, boy.
Mom, Joe and Lachlan are trying to record a podcast.
Great googly moogly, Agent P. Dr. Doofenshmirtz has been selling NFTs, and they're going to destroy the entire environment.
Mom, Phineas and Ferb are making NFTs.
Hi, I'm an NFT.
Well, now we can't cut that.
Oh, no, I'm not. That's sticking in.